Hello, everyone, and welcome to my 3,000 follower AMA. How crazy is it that I even get to say 3,000 followers? I'm still trying to get my head around that. It doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like a number that's actually in the realm of possibility, but here we are. There's also over 800 of you in the boudoir now, so like we are crushing it, guys. I can't even. And apparently it turns me into a teenage girl. It's all good. I'm so grateful to all of you for taking the time to support my content, to listen, to upvote, to comment, to send the messages, to take a look at Patreon and Siren. You guys are amazing. You're just absolutely incredible. And again, I'm so, so grateful for all of you. I can't even articulate how grateful. So thank you. Just thank you. So I have done something that I don't normally do, and that is opened up the floor for questions. I'm a notoriously private person. I don't share a lot of myself with the community, with anybody. So this is kind of a little outside my comfort zone, but I'm going to do my best. I do have a lot of questions to get through, though. There was quite a few posted publicly, but I also have a list from my DMs that I want to get through. Now, the way I'm going to do this is if you posted publicly, I'm going to just read it off the post. I'm not going to use usernames, though, because I don't really want to do that. People that sent me the ones privately don't want their usernames, obviously, public. And it will go faster if I don't have to do that. So we're not going to use usernames for the questions, but I want to thank everybody that submitted questions and took the time to do that. That's amazing. You guys are awesome. And hopefully, y'all enjoy the answers. So let's go. All right. First ones. How hard is it for you to get into the mindset of the characters you voice, and is it hard to get out of them somehow? It depends on where I'm recording from. So if I'm recording from a script, it does take a little bit of preparation to get into the mindset of the character, depending on what the character is. You know, if it's an easier, like a hand job audio or a blow job audio, where basically it's, oh, hey, how you doing? Let's do this. It's a little easier than something like Weakness, for example, where, you know, the PTSD audio where I was kind of emotionally devastated for a couple of days. It depends on the severity of the character development as well. So it can be quite difficult to get into that headspace, depending on that. If it's an improv, generally the character is where the improv starts. So, you know, I have the scene in mind and I kind of know when I create the scene and when I conceptualize it, I know who the character is. So it's a little easier to get into that that headspace because I know what I'm going into right when I start. So it just depends on if it's an audio that comes from me or if it's an audio that's scripted. And I will say that the scripts that I've been fortunate enough to work with, the writers have given me so much to work with in terms of creating these amazing characters that it's not that hard to create them in my head. It's not that hard to know who they are and to learn who they are and to be able to pick out their characteristics to be able to embody them. So that's one of the benefits of great writing is it makes my job easier. So yeah. To get out of them, generally, for the most part, now this isn't 100% of the time, but most of the time, as soon as I turn off the microphone, I'm done. I jump out and I'm finished. I do carry characters with me from time to time. You know, they'll sort of stick in my mind. But in terms of turning off who I am, in terms of disconnecting myself from them, I don't generally have that issue. I've only had that issue a couple of times. Weakness was one. I carried that one around for a while. But again, I had to go pretty deep into some painful stuff to get where I needed to be for that one. But that's not the norm, right? Normally, I shut off the mic and it's like, okay, I'm done. Like that character can be put to rest. I got everything I wanted. I'm good. So that's typically how it works. It's kind of like when I get off stage, when I'm in a theater production or something. My goal is to be able to leave the character at the theater, right? That's kind of the idea. So yeah, I try to make it easier to separate myself from the character when I'm done. just for my own well-being. I have over 100 audios now. If I hung on to every character, oh my gosh, I'd be a basket case. I wouldn't know which end was up by this point. Next one, also on a more lighter note, so from the same person, what is the weirdest or most unconventional prop you've ever had to use? Okay. So I don't talk about this a whole lot because I'll be honest, it's embarrassing. I have a box of props that I use for this, and it is probably the type of prop that y'all are thinking. When I purchase props for this, I purchase things that are sounding a certain way, okay? So I will pick up a vibrator, for example, because I like the tone of the vibration sound, right? I think it'll translate well when it records. So I have this box, and it has freaking everything in it. You know, all the things that I need to make noises. And that's, you know, not just the vibrators, but the wet noises and things like that. So one of the weirdest things that I have that I kind of chuckle every time I see it is a male masturbator. It has a mouth on one end and on the other end. And it looks so strange. It's a cheap one because it was one of the first ones that I got, and I didn't know what it would sound like. But it was a recommendation from the girl at the toy store, at the sex toy store. And she said that it would, with the appropriate other part, it would make the necessary noises that I was looking for. So I have this thing. And I kind of look at it and I chuckle, because I do use it to make certain sounds depending on what I'm looking for. So that's probably one of the most unconventional things that I have is that lovely piece of equipment in my toy box. But that's how I do things. So yeah, I'm like, I'm embarrassed even talking about that. So I do apologize for that. Okay. On to the next before I get too embarrassed here. What is the timetable from finding a script and releasing the audio? Generally it's not a quick process. When I get a script or I find a script that I want to do, because I pre-plan my content so far in advance, like right now, I'm doing a session tonight and I'm recording stuff into March, right? This is January 9th. So I'm recording March's content tonight. So that's how far in advance I tend to go. So when I pick a script, I might record it right away, but it won't be released right away unless it's special circumstances. The exception there is, if I get a script that is specially written for me and it fits, you know, in where I need it, or I find one that's amazing and I can bump something else that's similar, usually an improv, I'll do that. But for the most part, it could be a good 6 to 8 weeks before I actually release a script once I find it and record it. So, yeah, it's not a quick process. next one. For your solo work, where do they come from? I mean, are some a scenario you want to play through creatively, not privately, and I do appreciate the distinction there, or a list of tags that are performing well, or a challenge you want to try, etc.? It's kind of a mix of all three. A lot of the time, the improvs come from just sort of scenarios that pop into my head. You know, I'll be doing something and I'll have an idea and think, oh, that would make a really good audio. And then I reach for the notebook and it goes in there. And then I revisit later when I'm coming up with concepts to record. A lot of the time, if I'm looking for tags, I'll go back through my last few posts, see what was popular, see what you guys liked, what the comments say, and pick out the tags that tend to run as the common theme. I'm an analytics person, so I like to look at the numbers and see sort of what the correlation is between the popular things and the tags. So I will do tag specific audios every now and then, just because I know that's what you guys like. And then if I do want to challenge myself creatively, I will, you know, pick up a concept and go, oh, I wonder if I could do that as a performer. You know, there was a rape audio that I did recently. I released a siren, and I was not sure I could do it. It was rough. It was, you know, pretty nasty. Not nasty. It was a little bit rougher than I'm used to, and a little bit more on the harsh side. And I thought, I wonder if I can go there. I wonder if I can get into that headspace. Because I haven't really done anything that harsh since I first started, which was a significant delay, which was my very first improv ever, go figure. So, you know, something like that will come along and I'll do a challenge like that. But that is, again, it's kind of a mix of all of them. Generally, it's just I get an idea and I'm like, oh, that'll be cool. I'll write it down and then come back to it. So, yeah. I just touched the shield, so sorry. In the non-GWA side of your performing, what kind of music are you doing? Just gigging around, or do you stick to genres or venues? It's fine if this is too private and you want to skip it. Okay. So I have to be careful how I answer this, obviously, because it gives too much away. But right now I'm not doing anything musically. I am having issues with my voice. So I'm not recording, I'm not doing anything. And COVID kind of put a stop to a lot of performing anyway. And by a lot, I mean all of it. Jamming and stuff like that. When you can't get together with people, it's a little harder to do. So I was doing a lot of recording on my own. I tend to do a little bit of everything. So I can do like the Disney princess voice. So I have, you know, my demo that is that. I have my singer-songwriter type stuff, you know, the acoustic guitar, that kind of thing. I can do a little heavier rock. Not as much anymore, obviously, with my voice being all screwed up. I can do that kind of thing. So I kind of bounce around. I'm a musical theater geek at heart, though, so that's kind of my favorite place to be. I would rather be performing a show than doing, you know, like recording or whatever. So that's kind of where I have to be careful how I answer this. So I'm kind of thinking, how do I say this? But unfortunately right now I'm not doing music at all because my voice is all messed up with what's going on in my neck. So hopefully that won't be too much longer. The treatments are progressing. So fingers crossed. So here we are. And how long is the editing process on the average audio? The average audio that doesn't have a full soundscape, if I'm not adding a whole bunch of effects, I can literally edit from, you know, the length of the audio, add 15, 20 minutes for like noise reduction and cutting out like errors and stuff. So if it's a 20 minute audio, it might be a 45 minute edit just as I run it. If I'm doing a full soundscape, it's obviously going to be a little bit more, depends on how involved I get it. If there's a lot of effects, if I'm creating effects tracks, because I do create a lot of my own effects tracks, it'll be a lot more. The longest one I think I've ever done was like 25 hours. And it was a huge audio. I'm not going to say which one, but it was a huge audio and there's a lot of work involved. So, you know, it can go into the larger numbers of hours as well. It just depends. I've been doing scores lately. So creating music behind things, that tends to take a little bit of time. I love doing it though. I absolutely love playing with that. So that takes a little bit of time as well. But the average audio, just a straight up audio, is basically add like 20 minutes to the audio length so that I can go in, do noise reduction, make sure I'm cutting out proper things. And then I'm done. So it's good. Next. How do you think about us listening to your work / how much do you think about how your audience is receiving your work and what they may be doing while listening? Oh God. Okay. First of all, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not naive. Okay. I know what is most likely happening when y'all are listening to my audios. It's porn. I get it. Like, I'm not new. This is a thing. I don't tend to focus on that. I find it's easier for me to stay in a creative headspace and to give you really top-notch content if I don't think about things like that. I think about things like, do you enjoy what you're listening to? And take enjoy as you will. Oh, there's a train. Yeah, you're going to hear the trains because I'm not even going to cut them out. I'm just going to let it roll. Do you like what I'm doing? Do you enjoy the audio just in general? Is it the type of thing that you would click on if you see the tags? That's what I look at. I don't tend to think about it much beyond that. In terms of how you're receiving it, obviously I want you to be happy with what I'm putting out, because otherwise what's the point? But anything beyond that, not so much. I try not to think about that. I think it's better for everybody if I don't. It serves me well anyway. Writing advice for people wanting to get into this stuff. That's the next one. Just do it. In terms of how to format it, so this medium is a little bit harder to write for than anything else because it's one-sided, right? You're basically writing one side of a conversation while hinting at what's happening on the other side without sounding stupid. So study the scripts that you like. Study the format. Study the way the writers handle things and learn from them. That would be my biggest piece of advice. That's what I did when I started. As I just started paying attention to how certain problems would be handled. So if you are talking and you need a response, but you need to be able to tell the audience what the response was without having that response there, how did you handle that without just turning into a parrot and repeating whatever the other person would have been saying? I started looking through some of my favorite audios, my favorite performers, how things were being handled, and I kind of figured it out that way. So absolutely study your favorites, study the greats, study the ones that are doing this and doing it well. Take notes, learn from them, and adapt what they're doing into your own personal style. So apply your skill, your talent, but take the technical side, the nuts and bolts of it from the ones that are already doing it and doing it well. And then just do it. Just sit down and write. Because you know what? If it sucks, just do it again. It's the only thing you can do. Performing or recording advice for people wanting to get into this stuff. I've heard some performers say don't. I'm not going to say that. I firmly believe that this is a very wonderful thing to do. It's a lot of fun. Don't believe that there is a right way or a wrong way to do this. Don't get in your own head. and just relax and have fun. If you're not having fun, don't do it. I had to learn that the hard way. I burnt myself out really hard over the summer, and I had to step away for a bit and evaluate how I was doing things. Don't take it too seriously. Just enjoy it. Have a good time. Love it. Don't worry about, you know, what everybody else is doing or saying or anything. Make what you want to make. If you love it, that's all that matters. Somebody out there will love it. Everybody has an audience, right? And if you enjoy what you're doing, that's the most important thing. So do it for you. Don't do it for anybody else. That's what I had to learn. And I think it would have been a lot easier road for me if I had learned that up front. So if I could tell new performers anything, do it for you. Do it because you love it. And don't worry about what other people are doing. It's pretty simple. All right. Thank you to the person who posted those questions. That was great. Next. Okay, so there's 9 from one person here. All right, here we go. Number 1, how are you? How was your day? Oh, Fury's going to get up. I didn't kick him out for the AMA because I thought you guys might enjoy it if he popped in. Fury has been unwell this week, so he's been sort of locked in here with me. He's been my little friend. So he's kind of hanging out, so you might hear him. I'm going to, again, leave it. This is totally, totally candid. He might yell at me. I don't know what his deal is going to be here, so we'll see. Anyway, 1, how are you? How was your day today? I'm good, thank you. My day was quite relaxing, just getting ready to record, taking care of some household stuff, taking care of Fury, because he's high needs right now, little bugger. That was my day. It was pretty basic. 2, did you drink enough water today? Did you get enough sleep last night? Oh my gosh. I always drink enough water. I chug water like it's going out of style. I always have something I picked up just as a singer. I always wanted my throat to be hydrated. Did I get enough sleep last night? Anybody that's ever listened to me knows that the answer to that question is always no. I don't sleep nearly enough, but that's a problem I've always had. I've always been a poor sleeper. But I get enough to function and to function properly, so I guess enough is subjective. I don't get what they consider to be a healthy amount, but I get enough to function. So, sure, we'll roll with that. Hello, baby girl. Hello. Hello. Oh, yes, it's my baby boy. Yes. Fury is currently cuddling, so we'll see how that goes. 3, how did your Reddit journey start? I started as a listener. I had favorite performers that I really liked and became curious about you know, how they were doing what they were doing and really liked the performance side and just decided that I wanted to try it as a performer already. It was fascinating that this was another medium I hadn't done yet. And I thought it was really cool. I'd never heard of this before. And then I found it and here I am. So yeah, I started as a listener. I was a listener for about a year before I became a performer. And I'm glad that I did. So yeah. Four, what's your favorite tag to perform right now? Cause this changes. Like for this session, it could be one tag, and next session, it could be a totally separate tag. For right now though, lately I've been loving the FDOM tag cause I love how creative I can be with it. And how much I can do with it. I was never really into the FDOM tag as a performer cause I didn't really know what to do with it, how far I could go before just being a bitch. So I've kind of learned how to do that effectively without just being mean. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. And y'all are loving Bossy Beauty because that's apparently what her name is now. So I'm having fun with that one. Five, is there a genre or tag you'd want to do more of? Actually, I was thinking about this earlier today. I would love to do more Monster Girl stuff. I don't do a lot of it. I've done a few, can I have this? Thank you. I've done a few, ghost type things, but never really a full on Monster Girl thing yet. Because as a performer, I don't know if I can do it. Honestly, I don't know if I can actually pull that off. So I'm going to work on that, from the acting side and see if it's something that I can figure out. If it is, then I'll absolutely start doing it. I would love to do Monster Girl. I think they're fantastic scripts. We've got some amazing writers doing that stuff around here. And I would love to bring that into my catalog. I just, as a performer, don't know if I'm there yet. So that's definitely one on the radar. Next, have you thought about voicing a character with an accent? Example, British, French, etc. It's funny, when I was doing the collaboration, the Four Seductresses collaboration, there's two characters in there that have French accents. And I specifically said I didn't want to do either of those because I suck at accents. I think I do. I hate doing them because I always feel like I'm doing it wrong. And I don't want to like offend the people that are actually from these places by sounding like an idiot. So I haven't gone down the accent road yet. Just because, again, I don't think I'm there yet. I'm not comfortable with how I'm doing them. I do have a couple of different British accents in my arsenal from when I was doing theater. Could probably do them. Not 100% comfortable. Haven't done them in a while. May end up pulling them out. Oh, Fury's eating, so you might hear that. Sorry. Might pull out the accents. I don't know. Probably at some point I will try it just as something new to do. But for right now, I'm just not comfortable with it yet. Seven, what's the last song you listened to on your playlist? Oh God, let me see. I don't even know. Did I have music on today? Of course it had to be something embarrassing. Jeez. Okay, I'm gonna like age myself really badly here. It's Wilson Phillips, so anybody from like the 90s knows them. Wilson Phillips, and the song is Impulsive. So I was watching a YouTube video and I happened to hear the song Hold On, which is Wilson Phillips. And I liked that song when I was younger and it made me think of another one of theirs that I absolutely loved, which was Impulsive. So that's what I was actually just listening to the last time I had my music app open. So that's it. Totally embarrassed right now because that's not the answer you want to give on one of these things. But that's the honest one. So here we are. Favorite book and favorite quote from that book. Okay, I was an English major, so that's a really unfair question because I could spend like 8 days going through my favorite books. That's not okay. If I had to narrow it down, I would say, I am a Jane Austen fan. I love, you know, the Bronte sisters, Mary Shelley, that whole era. But I'm also like a murder mystery thriller type person. If I had to pick one book, it would probably be Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. There's just something structural about that book that just gets me every time. The way it's woven together, the way it's written, it's so tight. Like, you cannot find any fault in it. She was a master. I've read pretty much everything Agatha Christie's ever written, and even picking a favorite of hers is difficult, but I would have to pick that one. She's a master, and yeah, I love that one. I pull that one out all the time when I just want something comforting to read. As for a quote from that book, there was one that I always loved, and it was, "But no artist, I now realize, can be satisfied with art alone. There is a natural craving for recognition which cannot be gainsaid." So as a performer, obviously that resonated with me. You can't be satisfied with just your art. You need to be recognized for it. You need to have some, you know, some accolades for it. And as a performer, like I said, that sort of jumped out at me when I read it. I remember writing it in my notebook and holding on to it. Actually pulled out my notebook when I first read that question so that I had it prepared to answer. So that's the quote. What have we got? Lastly, what's something that made you smile today? Oh, many things. I make a point of smiling as much as possible every day. If I had to pick one thing today, it would probably be Fury, because he's a goony little bugger. Where'd he go? He's somewhere. Oh, there he is. He's like I said, been quite sick. What boils down to had a hairball that wouldn't come out, made himself quite sick. And then once that was passed, he had acid reflux so bad that he still couldn't eat. So many, many vet bills later, he's now on the mend and almost ready to be reintegrated with the other kitties. So we started some of that today, but he's not 100% ready to be back in the crowd, because he's still healing a little bit. So just him just being better and feeling better and jumping around like a kitty again, as opposed to laying on his blanket in front of the fireplace and looking like he was not feeling well. That was my smile today. So perfect. So thank you for those questions. Next. Yes. Okay, so there's one here that has been downvoted into the negatives, because y'all know how I work, apparently, and you were on this, and I didn't have to be, but it was, how often do you actually orgasm during your audios? I'm going to answer this, because I think it's important that everybody understands where I'm coming from. I keep a very clear separation between my audios and my own sexuality. So I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but I don't talk about my own sexuality, and they don't have anything to do with my audios. So I kind of keep the two separate. So I appreciate the question, but that's about as much as I'm going to answer. Okay, next. What tags or genres do you find most difficult to work with, and what do you think makes them so? The answer to this one is actually not what you'd think. So the answer to this is actually the GFE tags and the friends to lover tag, which is probably weird because they're like my most used tags, but that's also why they're the most difficult to work with, because GFE, I mean, you can do pretty much anything with it. And friends to lovers, there's only so many ways you can, you know, have two people that are good friends and then they decide they have feelings and then they do stuff. So to keep those audios fresh and to keep the ideas from being cliched and not overdone really does take some thought sometimes, because I don't ever want to be doing things that have been done a million times. I don't want to repeat myself. I don't want them to be cliche or porny or, you know, just anything that makes somebody go, really? So those ones are the ones that I tend to struggle with because they are the most used. So keeping them original is what makes them the most difficult, I think. Have you ever had an idea for an audio that you really liked but couldn't figure out how to make work? What about it stumped you? Oh, absolutely. There was a series I was trying to do, and I'm actually still trying to muddle my way through. And it was kind of a ex's, strangers. See, I can't even talk about it because it got in my head and I couldn't articulate it. But basically, it was two people that are strangers. They meet by chance and they both have exes that they want to impress. So they end up sort of relying on each other through chance to do this. And obviously, over the course of the series, shit happens. But I didn't want to have it just be that straight line. Oop, hit the thing. I didn't want it to be that straight line where you go from, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, and that's my ex, and can you just help me with this, to, I don't want that guy anymore, I want you. There had to be something in the middle that made it special, that made it not cliched. And it was stumping me. I had an idea, but I couldn't make it work, and I couldn't figure out how many audios I wanted it to be and which pieces of the idea fit. Because when I'm doing a series, I always do the series as one big piece, and then I break it down into what audio gets what piece of the story. And I couldn't do it. So I'm kind of still muddling that one. But that was what stumped me, is I couldn't find what was original about it. I couldn't give it an original heart in the middle of it. And until I can do that, I won't try to record it. So that's that one. What do you think the biggest misconception about what makes an audio quote unquote good is? I had to think about this one when I first read it, because, you know, you see a lot of things about equipment and editing and performance and da-da-da-da-da about what makes an audio quote-unquote good. The reality is, the misconception is that there's a formula for this. That's, I think people come into this thinking that there's, you know, a ready-made formula that if you follow it, you'll be successful and your audios will be awesome. I don't think that's a thing, because what's good is subjective, right? What's good to one person might be absolute crap to somebody else. I had somebody send me a message not too long ago that they were like, I don't know why you're so popular. And they actually used the word popular. That's not me being arrogant. That was the word in the message. I don't know why you're so popular, because your audios aren't that good. See, I don't know. What is good to that person? I don't know. What's good to you guys? I don't know. All I know is what I'm doing, I enjoy doing. So the misconception is that there's a right way and a wrong way to do this to make it good, because there isn't. It's literally do what you enjoy and somebody will like it. If you like it, somebody will like it. So that's, you know, there's no magic formula to this. That's the biggest misconception, that the people that are, that have the bigger listener bases. And this is another thing I try to not get into, is the quote unquote big performer. It's so stupid. The people that have been around longer, that have, you know, amassed more listeners because they've been around longer, they don't have any special trick up their sleeve. There's no secret to this. It's literally, you make what you want to make, and people might like it, they might not. But that doesn't make it good, that doesn't make it not good. I've heard some absolutely fantastic audios that like three people listen to, which is an absolute shame. But what makes that good versus something else? Nobody knows. There's no right or wrong answer here. So that's the misconception. There is nothing that makes something good. No specific set formula, just whatever you think is good to you. So that's it. Okay, next. Thank you to the person that submitted those. Next one. And this one is the person that suggested this is my ask almost anything. You know who you are, you little bugger. How did you first discover your love of performing? I honestly don't remember a time that I wasn't a performer. If I'm being 100% honest, I remember being like 3 or 4 at family reunions, getting up on the stage. We used to have them at the local high school, and they had the, like in the gym, and they had the stage at one end, and I would get up on the stage and be like 3 or 4, little tiny person, and sing and dance for everybody. Nobody was even fucking paying attention, but I was doing it. And, you know, those are some of my earliest memories, is doing stuff like that. Or, you know, we'd be at a Christmas at somebody's house, and all of a sudden I'm standing in the middle of the room singing Christmas carols. Like, this is just what I did. You know, TV's on and there's a show on with music, I'm standing there belting my face off. I was always a performer, right from, my mom used to say right from birth. So I don't remember not being a performer. I remember over the years loving different aspects of it, though. So I kind of look at it that way. You know, the performance itself, the act of singing, of acting. I've always been a singer first. Acting kind of came in later. Singing was always my thing. The act of being a singer, just getting to sing, I've always loved that. But there's always different things to discover about loving it, whether it's, you know, the thrill of the crowd, or whether it's realizing, I know this was one of my favorite things about it, and I use it as an example, as something unexpected that I didn't realize I would love, but getting into the real world after, you know, going to school and stuff, and realizing that the way I approached practicing and the dedication that it required to do what I was doing with my music, that was a transferable skill set. Who knew, right? I mean, teachers and things tell you that, but do you really listen when you're a teenager? Not really. But getting into the real world and seeing how much of that could translate into everyday life was so cool, because it made me a stronger person. And that was one of these things that performing did that I never in a million years as a kid would have imagined, right? So it was one more thing to love about it. So over the years, because I've never really not been a performer, I've just learned to love different things about it at different times as they've served me well. So yeah, roundabout answer there, but I hope that was close. Are you more at home on stage or in a studio? On stage. On stage. Hands down. There is absolutely nothing like being on a stage with the lights and the crowd. And it's this weird, you can only see the first couple of rows, if you're lucky, depending on how the lighting is done. If you've got in-ear monitors, you might hear a little bit of the din of the crowd. If you're in a theater, you're going to hear shuffling, you're going to hear, you know, people whispering, you're going to hear some jackass in the back of the room on their phone, whatever the case may be. You're going to hear things happening backstage. You're going to feel the energy of, if you've got a band with you, if you've got other performers, you're going to feel their energy. You're going to feel the energy of the crowd coming at you. Nothing compares to that. Studio environments are very sterile. They're intended for one reason, and that is to capture the perfect sound. So there's not a lot of room for anything else. You don't get that give and take with a crowd the way you do in a live setting. So yeah, absolutely on a stage. Give me a stage, put me on it, let me do my thing. I'm good. I would live on a stage if I could. Okay, this one I was a little shocked at, but here we go. For the next 6 months, you have to choose only one job, either acting or singing. And it says, this is the post-COVID world where there could be all the live audiences you'd want for either one if you prefer. Or you have the option of giving up coffee and doing both as long as you can lay off the bean juice. If you relapse, you go back to only one option for the remainder of the period. What do you choose? And what if it's for a whole year? So at first I was like, oh my God, how do you give up coffee, right? I'm a total coffee addict because I don't fucking sleep, right? So which do I give up? Acting, singing, what do I do? Oh my God. I had like a moment where I just kind of panicked, like, oh shit. Not that this is ever actually going to happen. And then I went, you know what? I can drink something else. I can get a caffeine hit or a wake me up hit, or fuck, just sleep more. Some other way, right? I cannot replace how it feels to be a performer, either as a singer or an actor. And I'm kind of in a place right now where I'm already going without the singing. I'm already doing it where I'm not getting to sing. And that sucks. I already know that sucks, and I don't want to do it. No, I'd rather not have coffee. And that's how much I love doing this. So I'm already kind of experiencing that a little bit, not by choice. But yeah, I would absolutely give up coffee. It would probably be really hard and I'd probably go through some form of withdrawal, but I'm sure I could figure it out. But having not been able to use my voice over the last little bit the way I'm used to, yeah, I couldn't choose. I couldn't give up one of them. So coffee it is. Not a very nice question, by the way. My goodness. Could you describe your actual recording setup a little, your space, what you keep handy, where props and equipment are laid out, etc. Okay. I'm going to do this as I shift. Cause I've been sitting in one spot for too long. So right now I'm sitting with a portable setup. So I do have a studio space sort of in my house, but I'm revamping it, to accommodate the new microphone. Cause I have a binaural mic now as well. So I kind of want to be able to have everything all in one space all the time. So I'm using the portable setup. So it's an isolation shield, and it's not your standard metal with the foam. It's actually, a 180 degree, looks like an egg, shield that, is meant to give 360 degree isolation. And it's not made out of metal or foam. As I said, it's kind of the same material that you would get, on the walls of a recording studio. So it's pretty effective. I absolutely love it, actually. It's great for the binaural too, because the binaural is really, really sensitive. So I have that on the stand with the shock mount, with the Rode. Sorry, I needed water, right now. And then, on one side of me, I have my table with my laptop, my interface, my headphones. I'm not using my cans right now, because I'm not recording audio. I'm just talking into the microphone. And then my notes on what audios I'm doing, my concept sheets, all of that's on one side. On the other side of me, I have my props table. Yes, I have a props table where all of my props that I'm going to need for the audios I'm recording tonight are laid out. I'll have my water. My phone is usually over there as well. It's in my hand right now because I'm using it for questions. I have a towel. Because I use lotions and lubricants and things, obviously, for sounds, so it gets a little messy. And then I have, you know, the non-toy box props, so the belt. I'm not wearing layers tonight, so I've got an extra jacket with the zipper, that kind of thing. The lights in the room stay low. I don't like to record with a lot of bright light. I like it sort of dark, and not dark, but comfortable. It's cold in here. I like it cold in here. I'm always cold. That's really funny. I'm always cold in real life, but when I record, it has to be a cold room because I get, you know, really warm and stuffy when I get going. So yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on. And then when I switch, I'll take out the Rode and I'll get the binaural mic and I'll put it in the same setup. And that's kind of how I'm doing it. It's a little bit guerrilla right now, but it works. It'll work until I get everything figured out the way I want it. It was a good excuse to revamp. So hopefully that answers the question. Next, do you have any important pre-performance rituals, mental or physical? Physically, I warm up my voice. So stretches, neck, shoulders. I do lip rolls. I do scales. Anything that will open up my voice. I do a lot of yawning. Yawning opens up the back of the throat, which is great. Sometimes I'll do yoga depending on what I've done during the day, and depending on how many I'm going to do at that session. If I've got like 12 on tap, I'll do yoga first, maybe meditate a little bit, get into the headspace. Mentally, my preparation is just to make sure everything is perfect. You know, I set up my space exactly the way I want it. I make sure that my computer's ready, that the program is set up properly. All my props are where they need to be. I have everything that I need for what I'm recording. All of my concepts are ready to go. My script, if I'm using a script, all of that stuff. Mentally, I have to know that everything is in its spot before I start or I can't start. I make sure that I'm comfortable, so comfortable clothes, usually yoga pants and some sort of a t-shirt or a track jacket or something like that. Never socks. I never wear socks when I record. I like to have bare feet when I record. It's kind of weird. which for me being cold all the time, I always have something on my feet, socks, slippers, something. But when I record, I always have bare feet. A little weird, but here we are. So yeah, that's my pregame ritual. Nothing too shocking. Are there any certain favorite instruments whose sound and tone you especially love? I really love the sound of an acoustic guitar, honestly. There's just something really peaceful about an acoustic guitar, but there's also something versatile about it. So you can have, you know, really soothing, calming music, but you can also like really get into like funky music with an acoustic. I just love the way it sounds. It also makes me think of happier things. My best friend plays the guitar and has an amazing acoustic that is just fantastic, and I love listening to him play. So, yeah, the acoustic guitar is definitely the instrument of choice. What's one food you'd never want to live without? Oh, God. I'd have to say bananas. I know, it's a weird answer. I love bananas. I always have. Just the flavor. Anything banana flavored, as long as it's not like grossly artificial. I love just bananas. They're just a great snack. They're tasty. They're healthy. Yeah, I think that would be that. All right, so that's that group of questions. Thank you to the person that submitted those. You're awesome. Next, here's a process question. Okay. When you're brainstorming an audio, one that might end up either scripted out or improvised, what element usually grabs you or comes to you first? An idea for a character, a specific sexual act, kink, fetish that you want to explore, or a general story scenario, or something else entirely? Typically, the story always comes first. So I get an idea, and it's usually some sort of a scenario, and I think, oh yeah, that'd be a good audio. And then I think, well, what would the person in that audio be like? So that leads me into the character. And then once I figure out the story dictates the sex act, right? I never go into it thinking, well, I need some way to, you know, lead into a blowjob. No. That's not how I do things. It's the story dictates that, you know, the blowjob might be the next move for these characters based on the conversation they've just had or the scene that they're in or whatever the case may be. So yeah, that's how that goes. It's always story first. Thank you to the person that submitted that one. Next, what's your favorite type of audios to record? Favorite type. It changes, honestly. Sometimes, lately I've really been loving the binaural, the whispers, mouths. Did I call it Whispers, Mouths, and Moans? I had to think about that for a second because that was not the original title. Whispers, Mouths, and Moans. I really love that concept of using the binaural mic for sort of the JOE. Just something about the binaural experience. So I love those ones right now. Also, who are your top three script writers? That's like asking me who my favorite kitty is. I can't do that. There's no way to pick favorites. We have so many amazing script writers in this community. That's like saying, look at the sky up above you and pick a favorite star. No, it doesn't happen. every script writer that I've been fortunate enough to work with is so talented in their own way and brings so much to the table in their own way. They're all, it's so weird. They're my favorite while I'm working with them. and that's, I could be working with three of them at once and they're all my favorite. It's just basically that's how it goes. I don't really have favorites. I just like working with creative people in general. So I can't really narrow that down. Just all of them, I guess, is the answer. So we'll go with that. Thank you to the person that asked that. All right, we have another list here. Okay, what are your favorite books? Okay, well, I'd said one, which was And Then There Were None. Pride and Prejudice is another one. Jane Eyre. I also like modern stuff. I'm not totally a geek. I actually really enjoyed the Hunger Games series when I read it. I was a Harry Potter fan when I was younger. So things like that. I also read a lot of non-fiction. I like Eckhart Tolle, some of his stuff. I read a lot of metaphysical stuff. So there's, I don't really have favorite books outside of the ones that I've already mentioned. I just love to read. what are your favorite movies and actors? Oh my God. All-time favorite movie right now. Well, not right now. Always is The Holiday. Kate Winslet, Jack Black, Cameron Diaz, and Jude Law. I don't know why. It's my go-to. I love that movie so, so much. I think it's just because it's a feel-good movie, and it's just, I love Kate Winslet too. She's one of my favorite performers. But yeah, that would be the favorite right now. Has been for a long time. Favorite actors? Oh my God. There's so many. Like, I love actors just because of performances that they do. So I never really narrow it down because of the person. It's the performance. Chris Evans in Knives Out, for example, loved it. Loved his performance in that one. Is he a favorite actor? Not really. Captain America, I mean, I'm not going to say no to that, but not a favorite, you know what I mean? I loved Daniel Craig in that movie too, actually. I love Daniel Craig's performances in a lot of things, now that I think about it. Bond, hello. There's so many. Oh my God. I don't know. I watch a lot of movies and I love a lot of performers. So, Gal Gadot is another one. Wonder Woman's like my thing, so I love her. Love her. Ben Affleck is another one I've loved since I was young. Chasing Amy is one of my favorite movies too. Kevin Smith, that whole universe. So yeah, I think that's good. What are your favorite anime or cartoons? I have not been keeping up on anime for a while. I know it's so horrible. I used to, but I just haven't had time. And off the top of my head, I can't even remember what the last ones were that I watched. That's so bad. Wow. I need to, like, get back on that. Shit. Cartoons. Gem and the Holograms was a favorite. It's a cartoon from the 80s. She was, like, the precursor to Hannah Montana. Good God. She was totally ahead of her time. Music executive by day. Pop star by night. She was awesome. Loved her so much. Yeah, cartoons. The Simpsons was always one I used to watch when I was young, I guess. Haven't really watched that in a while. I don't watch a lot of TV, now that I think about it. I really don't. I just don't have time. So, what are your favorite food and dish to cook? I make a mean chili. I also make a really good macaroni casserole. My mom passed that recipe down to me. Favorite food, though? God. Is it really bad to say I love bacon? I'm ketogenic, so I eat a lot of bacon. It's not just bacon, for anybody that's going to get up in arms about that. I've been keto for years, but I do like bacon. Let's roll with that. Next, do you believe in God or gods? If not, why? That one's a tough one. I was raised to believe in God. I was raised Christian. I hesitate to get into this to make this, you know, a discussion about that kind of thing, but I believe in something. I believe in a higher power. Do I believe in religion? No, I don't. Religion is man-made and therefore is corrupt. But higher power, something like that, yes. I believe there's something out there. What it is, not sure. I have my own sort of theories on that. I know what I believe, but I don't believe in organized religion per se. So I'll leave it at that. More spiritual than anything. I I do a lot of meditation. I do a lot of, I read tarot cards. I do crystals, stuff like that. So I'm very much about the universe and how that all works, the energies of the universe. But religion is nothing that I look at. So do with that what you will, I guess. What do you think about the USA and the storming of the Capitol? Okay, so I'm Canadian, so I think that's why this question was posed the way it was. I watched the events unfold like the rest of the world, shocked, saddened, angered by what was happening. I feel very angry and very sad for my friends in the U.S. You guys are going through such turmoil right now, and there is such upheaval. And it's disheartening to watch such, and I wasn't sure how much I wanted to get into this. I know there's been a lot of conversation around this kind of thing in the community of late. But the one thing that I really got upset about when I was watching what was going on at the Capitol was just the overwhelming white privilege and entitlement of the protesters. And it broke my heart that we live in a world where that's a thing. If that had been, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests from earlier in the summer, if that had been that type of crowd, it would have been a completely different situation. And the fact that that's even a thing is disgusting. So there's a lot going on in the world right now that is awful. Fighting for basic human rights, to be treated like a fucking human being. That's disgusting to even have to think about that. So yeah, obviously I'm angry about that, that even exists, that there are people that have to have that fight every day because that's not right. There's so much wrong with that. And what I watched when I was watching with the rest of the world, what happened at the Capitol, it just threw into harsh spotlight everything that's wrong in the world right now. And it made me sad. It made me so sad. So, I hesitate to say anymore because I'm going to get upset and go completely off the rails with this, but I don't understand why anyone should have to sit back and deal with privilege like that, with entitlement like that. And it's not okay. And in any way, shape, or form, it's not okay. Okay, moving on. places or countries you want to visit after COVID. I want to go back to England. I love England. I was in London and I love it there. I want to go back out west. I want to go back to British Columbia and spend some time out there. New Zealand is another one on the bucket list. So, you know, there's a lot of places that I want to go. Things you want to do after COVID. I want to be able to go to the friggin' movies and like just enjoy a night out with friends in a restaurant and have a good time without worrying about getting sick and masks and distance and all the things that have just made the world what it is right now. Just normal things that we took for granted before and are so precious now. That's all I want. I just want to be able to do the things that we took for granted before. Do you think aliens exist? Well, I've met some people that make me question. No, seriously. I don't know. I know that there's something out there more than us. I mean, it's pretty self-centered of us to think that we're all there is in a solar system as large as ours and the ones beyond ours. I think it's really self-centered of us to think that we're the only life form out there. That's pretty narrow-minded. So I would say there's a good chance that that's true, that there is something that we would call aliens out there. Makes sense to me anyway. If you could know one thing about the future, what would it be? And the person says, I want to know the future of humanity. I want to know when the world gets it right. When nobody has to fight for what they should just have as a human being, regardless of who they are, of where they come from, of the color of their skin, of their gender, of their sexual preference, of what they identify as, any of it. I want to know when the world gets it right and when people start accepting others for who they are. Without judgment. I want to know that. Because I think until that happens, we've got a lot of work to do. If you could know the truth about one thing, what would it be? And they say, I really want to know the universe. I could know the truth about one thing, what would it be? I want to know what the point of all this is. I want to know why we are being put through what we're being put through. What is the end game here? I kind of want to know what it's all leading to and what it's going to be when we come out the other side. What is the truth underneath all of this? What is the fight? What is the fight for? And what is the end result? So I think that's what I want to know. I want to know what it's all about. All right. That is the last of the publicly posted question. Thank you to the person who posted those. So I have a list from the DMs. Y'all were great. I wrote them down because I didn't want to have to scroll through my phone through all the DMs. Okay. So there's a few here. I'm just going to go through and read them. Again, no names. Okay, here we go. First one, why don't you talk about personal stuff? It's really cute that you get embarrassed by that stuff, by the way. Wouldn't discussing your own sexuality give your audience more connection with you? So I was on the fence on whether I was going to actually answer this or not, because it is kind of a way to skirt the question of, you know, talking about my own stuff. But I thought it was important to answer it. I don't talk about my personal stuff because there's a couple of reasons. One, I'm not comfortable doing so. Two, I don't ever want to bias the opinion of the audios. I want you to be able to create your own fantasies. And because I make such a wide variety of content, I don't ever want anybody to approach the tags on a specific audio and go, well, this isn't going to be as good because that's not her own personal kink. You know, she doesn't really like that, so it's not going to be as good. Or, you know, I'm not going to enjoy it as much because I know she's faking. No, I don't ever want anybody going into anything like that. So they're all the same to me. I very much keep the two separate. So nobody really knows what's going on in my mind when I'm recording, and I like to keep it that way. I think I connect with my audience more about the story side of things, about the actual characters, and which is kind of strange in a porn community. I didn't expect that, but it's the truth. It's the way it is. And I think I have more connection that way than I ever could giving more information on the other side. So we'll roll with that. Next. I was wondering, what was the audio you had the most fun recording? Oh, God. I did a live recording, actually. The Willow Will-O-The-Wisp series, I recorded the last one live with Hannah Slama. And even though we didn't get to use the take that we did because the bot in Discord screwed up, we had a fantastic time doing it. It was a lot of fun. That was probably the best experience I've ever had recording, just because it was so much fun to work with Hannah. They're a fantastic performer, and they are just a blast to work with. So that was probably my favorite experience. Next, your audios have some of the best sound I've ever heard. Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Do you think the microphone you use to record is important for getting good sounding audios? This is a widely debated topic, and I actually contemplated not answering this question too, because I've heard arguments on both sides for this, and I kind of hesitate because I obviously use equipment, right? I'm on a ribbon mic right now, and I have the binaural. Is it important for getting a good sounding audio? Not necessarily. Does it sound different? Yes. So you don't need professional equipment to do this. I'm going to put that right out there. You don't. You can do this with a cell phone and a headset or whatever you want to record on and have fantastic audio. Some of my favorite audios were recorded on cell phones. It is going to sound different, though, with different equipment. I don't care what you're using, no matter what it is, whether it's a professional microphone, whether it's, you know, a beginner microphone, whether it's a cell phone microphone, they're all going to sound different just because of the nature of the beast, right? You don't need it. You really don't. It just is what it is. I use this equipment because it's the equipment that I had. Well, this is upgraded, but I upgraded it not because of this. I upgraded because I'm a musician, but I started doing audios on that type of equipment because that's what I had at my disposal. Not everybody has that, right? Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. You don't need that equipment. My sound is my sound because of what I record on. That I can't deny. I mean, that's just fact. But I could record on my cell phone and still make audios. So it is what it is. You don't need the equipment to be good. It's just going to sound different, I guess, is the answer to that. Will you do more joint audios with other creators? Who would you like to work with if you could work, or if you could pick anyone? I do have a collaboration coming up. There's one being released here shortly. I would love to do more collaborations. I really enjoy working with other people. The thing is, I am like crazy, crazy shy about approaching people to do these things. So the bulk of the collaborations that I've done, somebody else has come to me. I think the only one I actually actively sought somebody out for was the first one I did, which was the Will-O-The-Wisp series, with Hannah. Because I have this like anxiety that they're going to be like, ew, you suck. I don't want to work with you. Like, you know, that mindset. So I would absolutely love to do more collaborations. There are so many amazing people in this community that I would love to work with. I'm not going to name names, but I will say if anybody wants to do a collaboration, please reach out to me. I'm totally, totally open to talking about this, and I'm excited to do collaborations. But like I said, I'm just really shy about reaching out about it myself. I can't explain it. It is what it is. You said you have someone who listens to your audios before you post them. Is that a good idea for performers to do? It works for me. I've had a beta listener in one way or another since I started, just because I like the idea of a second set of ears that's not mine. You know, when you spend some time editing, you miss things, right? Because you've been listening to it so many times. I just like the idea that somebody else is listening to it and picking up things that I missed, which happens quite a bit. that I do enjoy. Do I think everybody should do it? I don't know. Not my call. It's a preference. It's what the performer is comfortable with. I do know other performers that do it. I know a lot that don't. It just depends on what you want to do, on what you're comfortable with. just for me, I enjoy the second set of ears just for my peace of mind that I didn't miss anything. But I wouldn't say that everybody has to do it. I think it's a personal preference. Okay, next. How is your voice? Will you be singing again soon? Does making audios help your voice or hurt it? My voice is doing better. I have been doing treatments on my neck, doing the stretches and the exercises and all that stuff. So it is getting better. It's not where I want it. It's not where I'd be happy to have it, but we're moving in the right direction. It's not as bad as it was. So it is getting better. So thank you for asking. Why do you put so much story in your audios? I love this one, by the way. Why do you put so much story in your audios? It's porn. They don't need to tell stories. They need to get people off. Well then. what do I say to that? First of all, thank you to the person that said that. That was awesome. Just kind of made my night. I just like the idea of telling a story. And if you get to do the other part too, that's great too. I kind of look at it the way you would look at a movie with a sex scene in it, right? You get to enjoy all of it. So you get one with the other. Why not? It's entertainment all the way around. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but there's a ton of other performers out there doing other things. So, I mean, there's something out there for everybody. If you don't like the story-based audios, I do have some that are right into it. In fact, I did one not too long ago that there was no story, no build, and people commented that there was no lead-in. So I don't know what the right answer is there. But yeah, I do the story-based stuff because people seem to like it. I enjoy doing it. It gives me a chance to be creative and to perform. So I guess that's the answer. Kind of a strange way to ask that, but all right. The binaural audios you make are terrific. Will you experiment more with that style? HFO would kill me. Well, I'm sorry to the person that wrote that. Thank you. I am doing more binaural. Binaural is a lot of fun. I enjoy it. People seem to really respond to it. It takes some getting used to with the space around the microphone and figuring out the editing. So I'm getting there. It's a learning curve. You don't do binaural stuff with music. That's not quite how it works. So I am getting there. But HFO is actually on my list to do. I like the idea of creating sort of that trance state. And I've been looking into like binaural beats and stuff as well. So definitely on the list to keep going. What's the hardest thing for you about being part of this community? I don't know. That's a really good, I don't know how to answer that. What's the hardest thing? There's like the fear of my work being downloaded. I know that happens a lot. What's the hardest thing? One of the hardest things is sort of the rejection. You know, you make an audio and you think it's great and you love it, and then you post it and people don't really like it. That's a tough one to swallow because you're like, wow, what did I do? What went sideways there? That one's hard. That one's a tough one to take. I think that's probably the biggest one is, you know, you work hard on something and then it doesn't do what you think it'll do for people. You know, they don't respond the way you want them to. And that's where you have to sort of focus on the fact that you enjoyed it and you thought it was a good piece of content. And that's what matters. But yeah, that's, I think, the hardest part. Why don't you have an anonymous forum anymore? Let me see. I had the anonymous forum, and then there was a point that it became just a space for hate. I started getting inundated with hatred, and it was just not good. So I thought, you know what, I'm just not going to allow that. When it becomes more bad than good, it's not worth it. So I shut it down. Am I going to bring it back? Probably not. because that's usually the next question or somebody will ask. I don't really think I need it anymore. I kind of have a handle on what you guys want. I thought it was a really great tool when I first put it up because it gave me a chance to sort of get an idea of what you guys wanted when I was still figuring things out. But now I can kind of gauge a little bit better myself just from everything that I've done and the comments and the DMs and stuff. So, yeah, I think the anonymous form will stay gone, but that's why I took it down. It's just because it got targeted for a whole bunch of hate and I don't need that. So it just went away. And last one, would you ever teach, what does that say? Would you ever teach people how to edit audios? Do I have time? I'm not against it. I don't know when I would fit that into my schedule. There's so many different ways to do it too, right? So, you know, the way I do things is not necessarily the way other people would do things, but I would have no problem if somebody asked me how to do something or, you know, wanted me to show them something on Discord or something. I would have no problem doing that. If we're talking about like putting up tutorials and stuff, I don't really have time to do that. But I have no problem like helping people if they ask. That's not a problem at all. If performers or whatever want to reach out and ask questions or get help with anything, please do. Like I'm willing to help. I'm here. Absolutely. So that's all the questions. So we made it through. Thank you to everybody that sent me a DM'd question. You guys are awesome. Thank you to everybody that posted questions. You guys are awesome too. Everybody that listens, comments, upvotes, all my patrons, all my Siren listeners, you guys are all awesome. As I've said, 3,000 followers is extreme. It's not a number I ever thought I would get to. So I'm going to go make some content now because I have some audios to make. But thank you for listening. Guys, the world's a crazy place right now. And if my little corner of the internet can provide you with a little bit of escapism for a while, I'm glad. I'm so glad you're here. Take care of yourselves. It's just a shit show out there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Stay safe and healthy. And I will talk to y'all soon. Hopefully, we'll get to 4,000 soon and we'll get to do something else fun. Take care, guys.